I'd like to dedicate this learning. It today happens to be the yahrzeit of my grandfather, Shneur Zalman ben Moshe Mendel. So this learning should be Ilei Nishmaso. And this is based upon the year-long course. Not going to do a whole year in a short little time span. But I think one of the major misunderstandings about the role of music in Judaism is that it's not something that is secondary or something that's been pushed to the side. It's been an integral part of Jewish life, and really we'll see in the whole world, from the inception, from the beginning of creation. And it's such an important thing. And when a person uses the power of music correctly, it can bring a place into a very close, connected relationship with Hashem. It's like a tool. It can be used for anything. So if you look at the very first source you have here, is from one of the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon. Pes Shulchan writes, again, I'll translate everything for you. Chachmas musica, the wisdom, the knowledge, the skill of music. Vishivcha harbe, the Vilna Gaon gave a lot of praise to it. Huay omer az ki rov ta me Torah vesotos shiri halavim. Vesot tikkuni Zohar, the secrets, the deeper mysteries of Zohar. Okay. I was wondering, what about attendance? What do I do at the end?
Just have them write down the names good. And give it to Bonnie.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful.
No one's missing class, right?
No, we all have lunch.
Beautiful.
I was
there when you took our Shabbat. What was that?
What
were you trying to say?
Nothing.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
I love you.
I just
handed
the bottle to you
about. Sure. Okay. He continues. without the wisdom of music. Meaning you need the wisdom of music to understand the secrets of Torah. Your soul could expire out of pure ecstasy if you'd understand the deepest mystical meanings of music. And its pleasantness. You could bring the dead back to life through the power of music. Amazing stuff. So this is the Vilna Gaon. Just in context, the Vilna Gaon was somebody who used to learn 22 hours a day. He used to take 4 half-hour like power naps and spend the other 22 hours a day learning. So when someone who's writing this, like we have, I was telling Mrs. Burnett, he wrote geometry textbooks. Like he had a knowledge of secular studies as well, and he writes this about music. This is huge. Continuing, the next one is the Ramban, where I underlined. The Ramban says, "Ein begashmius." There's nothing in this physical world, dak kimusika. There's nothing more ethereal than music. Let me try to explain what the Ramban is pointing out. I'm looking at this beautiful, paintings and tapestries. Every other form of art you have is something physical. If I take a photograph, I have a photo. I make a sculpture. I'm holding on to clay or putty. I'm moving paint. I have materials. I'm working with. When I have music, when you're listening to music, what's tangible? Nothing. You can't touch it. There's an instrument, there's a voice that's producing the vocal, but really there's nothing there. So it's something that's physical, but yet doesn't take up any place.
Except for the instrument.
Right? The instrument itself, right, which is it's like the Heichi Timsa to produce the music. Mm-hmm. But when you have that, you have something that's the bridge. And we'll see why. We come to the end of the sources. We'll see that's why music, which is the bridge between the physical and the spiritual world, is so prominent in the Beis HaMikdash. In that place. Hi, welcome. The music is so prominent. When you get to the Beis HaMikdash, we don't know exactly what we're expecting. It's like a symphony. Hi, there's more source sheets in front of you. Like, it's a symphony. There's so much music on a daily basis. Like we say in the davening, Hashir, the song that the Levim used to have every single day. So if I was to ask you, where's the earliest mention of music in Torah? The Yom Suf, good. You have anything before the Yom Suf? You give him the visual. The chop in the Yom Suf. Where?
Didn't Dina play a song on the harp?
Sarah Barasser. She got her harp,
yeah.
Right? Yosef is still alive in Mitzrayim. Before that, we have... Before Yom Suf, before David's called a king. You know how they call David the Ne'im Zemiros Yisrael. The good singer, the beautiful singer, the sweet singer of the Jewish people. That's what we're talking about, a king, right? You know how to sing. But even before that, before Kriyas Yom Suf, before Sarach Bas Asher.
I feel like either like in Gan Eden or in
Meretz. A drop after. Right or, after Gan Eden.
No, is it?
Right after Gan Eden is where you get music. Kain and Hevel. Right? Look in source number 4. Beautiful.
Oh.
Right? Perek Dalid is right after Gan Eden. Gan Eden is chapter 3. Chapter 4 is right after this. It's basically, this is the setup of world civilization.
Oh, I remember.
You sound familiar?
Yeah.
All right, Ms. Takmi. V'teled Ada es Yav, hu haya avi yoshev ohel mikne. So Yavah was the one who was basically created, agriculture and the tents and the livestock. V'shem achiv Yuval. His brother's name was Yuval. Hu haya avi koltofes kinor v'ugav. He was the first of all who play the kinor. You know what instrument in modern day Hebrew kinor is?
I want to say
violin. Good. And a ugav, like a harp or a pipe or something like that. So this is fascinating. And I think it's so amazing to recognize that when the Torah is telling us how the world was created, the cultures, music is right there at the forefront. It's not something that was like added after the fact. And in the year-long music course, this isn't a plug for it, but I'll just tell you, what I do is I play examples from different cultures and their unique musical systems. In North India, there's a musical form called the raga. You have an apprenticeship, it takes you about 20 years of studying with a master who knows how to play these things, like Ravi Shankar and the sitar, and he knows, and they train how to play that. It sounds so different than you have music from in Japan, or music from Irish music, South music, all these different music forms, like the primitive, I call them the primitive, but the in Africa, the rhythmic, the talking drums, they have these very, very rhythmic focused. By the way, just a side point, what's the only uniquely American music form?
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll is an outgrowth of something that came before it.
Blues.
Close?
Jazz.
Jazz, if you ever go to New Orleans, it's like they call it the birthplace of jazz. It's the only musical form that was created in America. Right? Okay, and then from jazz comes blues and comes rock and roll and comes all that.
I learned that blues was written as like songs that they'd sing on farms. Like
correct.
Slavery.
So that's right.
Technically, blues too in some regard.
It's a good thing. In the 12-bar blues, are you guys musicians? You guys, anyone? No? I don't get too technical.
Yeah,
There's a form of blues called the 12-bar blues, which is an AAB. A is a sentence is said, A it's repeated again, then B like rhymes with A. So that what you're pointing out, Benji, when they were working in the slaves, the person who was the would call out the song, the workers would respond back to him, and then he would respond back. That's how the blues form from working in the fields turned into like a musical art form. I remember one of my professors in high school. I went to a high school for the performing arts, and he said, you better believe the Jewish people built those pyramids. They were singing. There was a song associated with it, because what music was done as a function, as a practical thing, it was to unite everybody doing the same task at the same time. If you get that purple song and your hoe is down in the ground and you're pulling back at the same time, the song, right? Very good. The song was just a way of uniting everybody. Let's go a little on. Let's look at the Ibn Ezra now, the next source on this. Again, he's describing Bereishis, Perek Dalet. The pasuk said, "Kinor v'ugav, mine klei negina." These are types of musical instruments. Vehi chochma gedola. It's a tremendous wisdom to play music. Now we'll see. Music here, does that mean somebody just knows to play a few chords on the guitar? That is music. But to use the power of music, it requires a great amount of strength. The radak in the next source again is all working on the kinor and the ugav. Hu hay harishon bechochma sanigun. He was the first one to invent nigunim, music. V'amar v'loshin tefisa, and it says by the holding hand, lefisha ha'umnus tehehi b'tefisas b'kinor v'uga b'yad hasmalis. You hold it in your left hand. Kifi hashir shatora chakot tehi. Right? You would have it sound like this, like a violin or a guitar. You're holding the long, why was it called something in your hand? Because you have to hold one end of it while you're playing the other thing. So, I don't know, I found that. I googled this picture of the cute little kid playing a violin. But that's the idea behind it. Now, the Malbim says that music is like a tool. And we in Judaism, we don't say anything necessarily inherently bad. It could be used for bad. But like, for example, water. You know, the Sefer Chofetz HaTalmidim says water can give somebody life with it. Drink the, hydrate, you can have life through water. Or the opposite, person could drown in it. Water's not good or bad. How you use the water. The internet is not inherently good or bad. How you use the internet. Go to YU Torah. Torah anytime. Or a person can use it the opposite direction. But it's a tool. A knife. A knife is not good or bad. A knife can be used, God forbid, to stab somebody. A knife can also be used to do surgery, to heal somebody. It's a tool. Music is a tool. And says the Malbim, when the way music came into the world, they weren't using that tool for such positive things. If you look in the Malbim, you have the English underneath it. It was the custom of the Galilees to sing the harlot song in their houses of celebration, meaning znus. They would use the music with the prostitutes, houses of worship. Although music later became an honored thing, it was invented originally for the purpose of seducing women's hearts. So the Malbim says, and we know this, by the way, after concerts, rock concerts, other types of music, people were brought out to the highest level of behavior, a kumzitz, can elevate a person to use that tool to bring it, or can go to the most disgusting types of behavior. But music was the tool. Yeah.
So it says here in the Malbim that music was used to seduce women's hearts.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but now we have laws like that about Kol Isha, where it's the exact opposite, where a man cannot hear a woman's voice. How did we go from one extreme to the other? How do we swap?
It's saying that a man sings to impress women, not the other way around.
Yeah, but now I know. I understand that, but this is just more of a general question. How do we start off with this?
And then I can answer, but I'm afraid it would just take us too far. We're limited in time today. If you want, we could work it out how we got to where we're up to now. But it would really bring us to a whole different aspect of it. Okay, the Netziv in the next one, describing this, says again, Kinor v'Ugav. So why the two instruments? Just tell me. He created a Kinor, a Kinor Ugav. So says the Netziv of Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin. Shnei minei klei shir elu. There were two different types of instruments, and each one had a different effect, a different purpose. Pusein mischalfos. Kinor yosem esugul menucha v'sheina. The kinor was played, what's menucha?
Rest.
Relaxing. How many of you guys, when you're in a bad mood, will just turn a song? Right? You want to get out of that space. You just need to put on your favorite song and listen to it. So that's one aspect of music. Can bring in place of menucha. Calm you down. Relax. Ugav, lehevich, mebrayim is alright. Riles everybody up. Bum, 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 bum. Right? Your music can pump up the crowd. They play all these sporting events. Everyone's rocking. Okay, but you can use it. Music when you're doing it. So says the Netziv, a fascinating thing. You look at the dates of his life, right? 1816 to 1893. The Netziv is talking about the music. It's so relevant. It's so real. We experience this all the time. Music can put us in a, but it's that power of it. Now, again, there's a lot more to talk about, but I'm just trying to keep things moving. You guys heard of Shimshon Raphael Hirsch? In your Chumash classes, I'm sorry. No? Never? No? Okay, so tell us. He was one of the great Gedolim who lived in the 1800s. And nowadays, Reform Judaism is a joke. No one really takes it seriously. It's dying out. You look at all these surveys, it's done. But back then, it was a powerful, powerful force, especially in universities and college campuses, and people were so into it. So Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch wrote a commentary and wrote books. He debated, there's a man named Abraham Geiger, he used to have discussions back and forth to try to prove how the Torah is relevant. And one of the things he would do was point out the contemporary messages of the Torah. So going on this, on Yuval, the father of all who play the lyre and the flute, in other words, art. In Cain's world, art is just as necessary as industry. Wouldn't that be? Can you imagine, when they talk about funding, we need to put as much money in the government for arts as we're doing it into the industry. When man departed from God, inner harmony through external. I'm sorry, I skipped a line. Let me go back. When man departed from God, inner harmony departed from man's heart. Art seeks to restore man's inner harmony through external stimulation. This is especially true of music. Wow. So music is done to get back an inner harmony. We're so busy all the time, pulled and pushed in 1,000 different directions. Music can kind of realign us and get our neshamas back in place. Music expresses neither images nor concepts, but moods and feelings. It presents and awakens feelings and thus sensitizes the soul. Like all fine art, music is a preliminary stage in education of mankind towards goodness and truth. Right? That's amazing stuff. It brings us to a place of goodness and truth. There's truth in music. There was a famous, I'm blanking on his name, There was a famous, Italian opera singer, and he once heard Yosla Rosenblatt giving a performance. I'm sure after we leave here, I'll remember the name of this Italian guy. He's non-Jewish, and he heard Yosla Rosenblatt was giving a cantoral presentation, and he was singing the tefillah of Tefillas Tal, which we recite on Pesach. And this Italian virtuoso said, I don't know the translation of the words, but I can tell he's singing something about water. There's a language that the music conveys, and he, even not understanding, but the inflections and the notes and the melodies, he could tell that he was singing Tefillas Tal is for water. So it was a beautiful, you know, when you understand what music has to do, there's a truth to it. So I want to just point out a little bit more, talk a few more minutes, that this idea with music, even if we're not, for those who are not musicians, we still encounter music every day in our life. In the Psuki de Zimra, we recite Oz Yashir, right? If you look in the next source, Oz Yashir, Moshe, Uvnei Yisrael, Seshira Hazos. Some of you said that, right? When I asked for the earliest point of music, right? So we talk about this. V'yomra le'imor, Ashir l'Hashem ki go sus v'roch v'rom v'yom. I'm going to sing to Hashem. So the Mishnah Berurah, written by the Chafetz Chaim, writes in his code of halacha and Jewish law, one should say this, Oz Yashir with joy, talk about every morning by davening, Psuki de Zimra, and imagine his mind that day you're passing through the sea. One who says it with joy, his sins are forgiven. So through him doing music, Oz Yashir, picturing that, being besimcha while you're saying this, it's a personal Yom Kippur every single morning by Shachris. Use that power of music. Also in Navi, you find that the music was used as a tool to bring out the highest levels. The word for a melody is Niggin. Nun, Gimel, Nun. And you have something, it's in English, you know what a palindrome is?
Yeah.
What is it?
It's a word that when you spell backwards, it's
yeah. So good, give me a few of your favorite palindromes.
Race car.
What?
Taco cat.
Taco.
Cat.
Taco cat.
Hannah.
Anna. Bob. Right?
Mom, Dad.
Abba.
Emo.
No. Emo's
the word.
But
the word is not in Hebrew.
Oh, you know my favorite palindrome?
What?
Was it a cat I saw?
Oh, that is a good one, yeah.
That's a good one. You know my least favorite
that's
one?
So cool.
What?
Satan Osculate My Metallic Sonatas.
Okay, you know what? I'm not even going to ask
you. Okay. That's your favorite also? How do we get on to this? Because a niggin, nin, gimel, nun is a palindrome, right? What does that mean? Beautiful idea. A palindrome, however you look at it, right? It's a loop. When we sing, Jewish music really technically should never end. Think about it, right? It has the low part, the high part, right? It has the middle part, whatever it is. Really, you have to do something that causes it to end. It's a circle. And every time you sing, if you're ever like really into a kumzitz or you're a Friday night tish and you're singing the song over and over again, it's not just singing the same thing. It's like circles getting higher and higher. Every time I sing it, right? Lamancha, right? Every time I'm singing Lamancha, Ki Karov, every time I'm singing the niggin over and over again, I'm getting higher and higher. I'm getting more elevated through that. So a niggin, if you break up the words, can be read as Nun, which is the gematria of the number 50. Nun, Gan, the 50th level of Gan Eden. You get to the highest levels by through a niggin. So in Malachim Beis, next source says, V'yata now, Kichilu Minagin, V'haya Kinagin HaMinagin, V'ati Alav Yad Hashem. When the musician played, the hand of the Lord came upon him. So we used a musician to bring into a state of prophecy. If we would use music and elevate ourselves properly through this, we could get to Ruach HaKodesh. A person could get Nevuah as evidenced from them. A few more things. I know I have a limited amount of time, so I can't manage. What time does this end? Okay, so let me do like 5 more minutes or so. If you look in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Tes Zayin, chapter 16. The Ruach Hashem Sar Me'im Sha'ul, the spirit of Hashem left him, and he got frightened. Right? So the next Pasuk, Tezva, Vayomru, Avdi, Sha'ul, Elav, Hinei Noa, Ruach Elokim, Ra, Mibatecha, you're being frightened of this. So what should you do? Omer Noa, Adoneinu, Avadecha, Lefanecha, Yevakshu Ish, Yodea Menagein, B'kinor. Bring me someone who knows how to play that kinor. It'll be good for you. So the Malbim, and I want to be very careful I say over this Malbim, I once was giving a shiur on this topic, and afterwards somebody came over to me. You wouldn't think people speak this way. He cursed me out. I'm not exaggerating. Profanity up the blah, blah, blah. He was in it. Why? I'm going to read you the Malbim, and I'm going to tell you why this guy had such a strong visceral reaction. The Malbim is essentially saying that Shaul was suffering. Look where it's underlined. I'll go to the second line. After see the little dots on the middle of the second line. V'nis'ava choli, melancholy. See that in Hebrew? He writes the word melancholy. Shaul had melancholy.
He was depressed.
And now the servants of Shaul saying, we got one or two ways to take you out of your depression.
So the only way to take someone out of depression is if they listen to music.
That's one way. The first way is that we could give you like something external, like drugs, medicine, like that. Or the other way is we can play the music. And they said Shaul's servants decided to do music. Now the man who came up to me afterwards, he had clinical depression.
Yeah, so he probably said, like,
and he said to me, the profanity I'm not going to repeat. The part, and he said, if you ever dare give this advice to somebody, they'll be dead and their blood is on your hands. Don't you ever tell somebody to listen to music when they're manically depressed, when they're in depression.
Okay, but like you weren't giving it.
You're right. This guy had a lot of baggage. Let's just leave it like that. I was saying over the Malbim, but the guy like really came after me. But okay, all right, okay. So you know, you're struggling off, put it in the back pocket, save for a good story. We're talking to high school kids. I wasn't gonna challenge him on this. I said I was not suggesting as a practical advice to someone who's saying, I'm learning a pasuk with the Malbim.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Woo. But again, there's so much more here, Tom. Let's go to the last page. There's the Shem Yishmuel over here. Do you guys know Bobo? Remember Bobo graduated last year?
Yeah.
So Bobo is a Ben Acher Ben. Bobo stands for Borenstein. That's why they call him that. Bobo. He's a son after son of son, a direct descendant of the Shem Yishmuel. So every time we quote a Shem Yishmuel, I get very excited to have his descendant as we're learning the Sefer together. So the Shem Yishmuel says something amazing. Vinira, on the last page. Dini k'siv b'bris manucha, shakoin k'shahaya margish b'avodas ha-korban shabal l'madayin l'osa tshuva, shlema. When you're bringing your korban in the base of Migdash, and the Kohen was working, he sees this guy's not really sincere about it, he hasn't done a full tshuva, hayimirames l'halevi, he would give a hint, a signal to the Levim ones who are playing the music, b'shira shalo, Yelahiv Lev Habaylim Litshuva. Change the music. Change the music to make sure that this person is being sincere. The music that was played in the base of Migdash was to bring to a person to a place of teshuva, of coming back and connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pshitus ain't a move on. How do you understand it? Shekorban Yochai ain't a toin shira. Korban of an individual, you don't have to shira with that. Muchma Chalomis, you have to say, Shalav Bashir Shal Oiso HaKorban El Hashiras Hayom Shal Korban Sibir Mayri. We're talking about the shir they were doing for the whole community, on behalf of the whole community. The music will be played there in order to bring out the best in the person. That's the Ramban we started with. That because the Beis HaMikdash is that location in the world that defies physical laws. There's a famous Gemara that says, imagine the shtender I have in front of me, imagine. Like this is the room dimension, right? From here to here is one wall to the other wall. If you would put the aron in the middle of that room, and you would measure from one end of the aron to the wall, and from the other end of the aron to that wall, it would act like, let's say 10 and 10, it would act the same thing as 20 across. So the place of the aron defied the laws of physics. It didn't take up space. So it was a physical world, but it was beyond any physical limitations. And that's what music does. Music is something physical but can bring us out and elevate us beyond any type of physical limitations. And that's why that Rambam writes of all the music you had there. If you look at the picture, you can see it lines up. When I Googled this image, it comes up. It's 100% accurate. What instruments would they play in this orchestra in the base of Migdash? Lyres, flutes, harps, trumpets, and a cymbal. You can see it all in the picture. There would be not less than two lyres, no more than six. There would be less than two flutes, no more than 12. There should not be less than two trumpets, no more than 120. There should not be nine harps, and there's no upper limit. There should only be one cymbal. So the Rambam writes, in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, what instruments they actually had in the Beis HaMikdash itself, because music belongs there. Music belongs in the Beis HaMikdash. Music belongs in our daily lives. Music is such a powerful tool. It can bring out the best in us. it can help us, it can make us more sensitive. We saw that in Shimshon Rav HaLadosh, there's a truth to music. There's an emes there. And it's not something that, oh, by the way, like we try to find a place for, in Judaism, how to use music. Music is the pulse. It's the lifeblood of our religion. It's been there from the beginning, and it's always been a main part of an expression of the truths and serving the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So thank you everybody for coming. Thanks a lot. You're welcome to keep the source sheets. Have a wonderful day. And again, today's learning was the Ilui Nishmas, my grandfather, Chaim Shner Zalman Ben Moshe Mendel. You're welcome. Take care, guys.